The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you in on a Saturday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Soak it in. Last day of amazing college football. Potentially, for a while, that's sad news, but it's meant to fire you up. Get the chips and dips and beverages, all sorts are ready. We'll get you caught up on the latest on Nebraska's search for another member of the coaching staff. Dante Williams, come on down. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning, hope you're well. Can join us this morning on Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll free, 1-800-825-5865. And on Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning, and at Mark Skurs. Mr. Kranak, good morning. You got your tree up.
Not yet, man. I'm slipping. I need to get that up. That's a good reminder, actually. Thank you. That's going to happen.
I can just give you ours.
What happened there? I saw you had some picture where it looked like you were trying to push one out the door in the back or something.
No, that was my wife and child. I was trying to push out the door with my tree. They went real tree this year.
Oh, really? Yeah, we can't do that because we have a cat. And then that turns into the cat thinking that it should climb the tree for some reason.
We have a puppy that seems to think it's it's a hemp tree from Boulder. So she's trying to eat it, and then she'll drink. So, yeah, we should just give that to the neighbors, what I'm saying. Happy holidays, though. How about getting a potential raise, getting out of a tough situation in Arizona, and, by the way, bringing some gifts to the Cornhusker State in the form of 2017 kids. Dante Williams, really talented young dude, corner coach out of San Jose State, now obviously with Arizona. And this reported by Nate Klaus yesterday originally, and it's been the buzz. There's no offseason in football here in Nebraska. There's no offseason in recruiting. And Mike Riley trying to fill the Bruce Reed spot with, according to Sports Illustrated, a top 10 recruiter in the country. That was when he was at San Jose State. And 9 commits of the 26 are directly responsible from Dante Williams and some high-profile guys. This dude is not just about relationships, but it's that conversation. Are you hearing or are you listening? And Dante Williams is a guy that gets kids like Darnay Holmes to listen. And what a coup it would be for Nebraska. Decision time could be today. Are you excited about this?
It's good. It leads to a ton of questions, though, obviously.
Start asking.
Well, okay. So here's Dante Williams, who is a defensive backs coach, corners coach right now, but presumably those guys could also coach safety. So we'll just call him a DB coach. That's what he was at San Jose State, too. All right. And you also have Brian Stewart already on campus, who was a defensive coordinator at one point, even at the NFL level, who was the defensive backs coach last year. That was a disaster. They moved him to just corners this year as he got familiar with the defense. But still, so you have him as a defensive backs coach. You have Dante Williams, who's a defensive backs coach. You have Mark Banker, who last year coached safeties. So you have three guys, potentially, if Dante Williams comes on board, who are defensive backs coach. Now, you try to square that with Mike Riley's sort of stated philosophy on his coaches, which is he wants experts at the position. So you think back to, say, the Bo Pelini years, and really how a lot of coaches do it, where they're not afraid to move guys around to coach kind of whatever position. Right. Like Ron Brown was all of a sudden coaching running backs, even though that was never his thing. You know what I'm saying? John Papuchis, let's go ahead and have him coach D-line. You know, let's bring in a golf coach and have him coach linebackers. Right. Like
it's all about technique. Got to be great inside 100.
Which, by the way, ended up working out. But that's what's difficult to square about this is you obviously don't need at least you wouldn't think. I mean, do you need two defensive backs coaches? Two?
Here's what I see.
Banker, you can easily remove Banker out of the situation to have him stop coaching safeties. Mm-hmm. That would not be without precedent that a coordinator would not have an actual position group to coach.
He just manages the whole thing.
But you're really going to dedicate two coaches to it just does not seem like if he comes in, it doesn't feel like an isolated move. It doesn't feel like it's just, oh, we just bring him on board and we kind of. It feels to me like either Stewart is looking or Bray maybe for some reason might be looking. I don't know. I just would have a hard time seeing how you just add him to the fray without another move coming.
Let me,
I just don't know what that move is.
I don't know that we don't know. Okay. But from a Stewart standpoint, he has been very, very valuable out east, obviously coming from Maryland with his NFL pedigree, you know, being a D coordinator in Dallas. I mean, he's a guy that, and I think he's done a great job of teaching physicality and tackling for the, you know, he's done a
the
really.
Corners were good this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, thank
the
you.
The corners were very okay. good, and those were his corners.
And then you got yeah. Bray. So we're just spitballing here, okay? And you're right. You're asking the questions. Bray, is he looking? Does he want to be a coordinator? Someday, probably. He's still pretty darn young. Not that he couldn't do it, but do you go take a coordinator job just to be a coordinator? Or do you keep riding this thing out and keep learning?
Because Banker could then coach the linebackers.
Right.
But that was the case, much like he coached the safeties last year.
Here's what I think. I think this is nothing more. I could be wrong here, but I don't link this to your padding your staff if you lose a really good recruiter, which Bray and Stewart are on the defensive side with another stud. I don't think you're that it looks like that. That's one reason to go do this. But honestly, special teams was 450, and I'm not like piling on that. Get what you can get. But that was a full-time gig. And there wasn't much with it recruiting-wise. I mean, I don't think that was a strength nor emphasis of Coach Reed. So why not spend the money more wisely, figure out a way to supplement special teams because they weren't good anyway, and then invest in another just ace? Not that two of your dudes are looking or three of your guys are looking. Maybe none are looking. But just enhance tenfold a guy that can come in and tap into that area where you want to make your bones and get your niche, and that's California, because your connections with this staff anyway. Go get the guy that's probably been a thorn, quite frankly, for the 2017 cycle. How many kids are Nebraska in on that they're being considered versus how many kids does Arizona have in that top five because of this dude, or top three? I think he's just trying to bolster versus supplement a potential loss. And if a potential loss comes down the road, so be it. You got this dude on staff. Now, real quick, before we move on, Tucson.com is touching on this story regarding Dante Williams. And you have veteran cornerback Dane Cruikshank tweeted about Williams yesterday. No matter what happens, this will be my guy till the grave. Play for Coach D. All right. And then one of the commitments, linebacker Joshua Brown, let's get that name fixed, from Long Beach Polytech also chimed in. He's not going anywhere. So you have conflicting thoughts.
Oh, geez.
So time will tell, but the turnaround time is, all right, man, the window is open till the 12th of December contact-wise. Trade that blue for red. And we'll see if it happens. Also, the NCAA considering adding a 10th full-time assistant. Now, from a pay increase standpoint, again, per Mr. Klaus, you have the lowest paid assistant at Nebraska is $300,000. Okay, and right now at $215,000, as nice as Joe and Steve Schmidt love the tax situation in Arizona, $300,000 is still more than the $215,000. That Dante Williams is getting at Arizona.
It's interesting though that one of his commitments would say he's not going anywhere.
Well, what can he say? Hey, yeah. Rich Rod, I know you're doing TV last night in the Pac-12 championship game. I mean, that's the first thing that's happening. Text messages galore to Dante Williams from guys that thought they loved Arizona because of him. He can't come out and say, yeah, I'm concerned. I don't know what the protocol for that is.
He might not go, man. I mean, this could be an easy way for him to just get a raise, right? Like, that's certainly possible. Because you look at the guys that he's in on.
Do you want to stay at a 3-9 spot that just hired you? I mean, he came on in 2015. They're a far cry, Arizona is, from that 7-5, or excuse me, that 10-4 team that beat Mariota 2 years ago. Arizona's, I don't know. I'm not saying Rich Rod's on the hot seat, but 3-9 wasn't great. You don't get too many 3-9s.
But listen to the value that this guy has. All right. He has 9 of the commitments of the 26 that Arizona has. And Arizona.
How the hell do they have 26 commitments at 3-9?
Well, obviously there's playing time to be had. and they can, you know, Arizona State can always hit Southern California.
Right.
And that's what they do. And that's what this guy's all about. He's a Southern California guy. So he's got 9 of their 26 commitments. So he brings value to Arizona, which, by the way, their class is ranked ahead of Nebraska, which is largely viewed as having a pretty good class this year, top 20 to top 25 class. Arizona's a few slots ahead in both of the major kind of rankings systems. But listen to some of these names that he's in on. Darnay Holmes, that's familiar to Nebraska fans, one of the Calabasas crew. Jalen Johnson, guy that's visited Nebraska. That has interest in them. Greg Johnson, commit to Arizona. That's also a Nebraska target.
Big time athlete.
As an athlete, yep. Elijah Blades, who just recently was paid a visit by Nebraska. Jalen Redd, another guy. Nathan Tilford, who was at the Nebraska Friday Night Lights stuff as a tailback. Nebraska is in on a lot of these same guys. A lot of them. And if you're able to pull this coup, there is you're talking about a substantial upgrade to your 2017 class, which you need. Like, we touched on it last week, man. Touched on it last week after the Iowa debacle when we were still trying to orient ourselves to what the hell just happened. And just for some reason, it just got me really looking ahead, looking kind of longer view. And my goodness, if you don't bring in... Dude, you got to bring in some dogs. I mean, just flat out, you better bring in some guys that are not going to let Iowa and Ohio State happen. They're just not going to let it happen.
You got to match you got to match the athleticism with Ohio
come
State.
Come close.
But
you're not going to match it. No. But you better be in the ballpark.
It's the same type of kids they're going after.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to match it. There's no way. Ohio State's 6 5 stars.
Fine. Okay, you're not matching, but you need to be able to throw out some 4 and 5 stars more in numbers.
Yeah, it's dude. I can't stress
You got two real problems. You gotta try and match like you're talking about, and also you gotta really dive in and have a serious mirror on the wall conversation about your lines of scrimmage. Because you're always going to be theoretically on paper and athlete-wise ahead of Iowa. Maybe not always, but you get my point. When you look at rankings, Juicy Jewel, 2-star, small club, farm community, awesome linebacker. Okay? Their tailback. Wadden. Did I screw that up?
Wadley?
Wadley, thanks. 2.5-star Chicago. Okay. I mean, those are two instances of under the radar dudes that can ball that no one saw. But what won that game was the lines of scrimmage, obviously. And that's what won the game against Wisconsin was ultimately their line of scrimmage. So, but you know what also won the game for Ohio State was their freak show secondary being 4 and 5-star first round guys.
You couldn't complete passes on them.
No, you couldn't get separation because they're incredible.
Well, and look, I mean, it just bears repeating. I'm I'm borderline obsessed with the 2018 schedule.
No, I know you are. And you said that, a week ago because you got urgency and you need production.
And, dude, it's because to me, it's like, all right, 2017 is going to be what it is. Okay, it's you're breaking in a new quarterback. You're presumably going to get a little
home schedule. Yeah.
Yeah, you got a relatively easier schedule. It's going to be what it is. It's looking like an 8-4, 9-3 year, right? Probably. We'll see. But 2018, you're talking year four for Riley at that point. And you are talking about a murder. Do you remember, you know, this year coming into the season, Wisconsin was just written off because of their schedule.
Afterthought, they could be good. You'll never know because they're going to be done by November.
Yeah, there's just complete. Nebraska's 2018 schedule makes Wisconsin's 2016 schedule look like cake. You kidding me?
What kind of cake?
Colorado in week two. Michigan on the road week four. Wisconsin on the road week six. Followed by Northwestern. Followed by Minnesota at home. Followed by at Ohio State. You finally get a break with Illinois at home. Then you got Michigan State coming to town. And then on 6 days rest, you're heading to Iowa. Are you kidding me?
Penn State
that
in there at all?
Murderous.
Penn State's in there, aren't they?
Not for 2018 that I see.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
Uh-uh. Nope.
They'll add it.
Oh, yeah, why not? You as a competitor, I guess, you're like, yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. But that's ridiculous. You know, like, I don't understand. I don't quite understand what the Big Ten's thinking there when they think it's okay for any team, really, any team, to have to go at Michigan, at Wisconsin, at Ohio State in the same year within like 6 weeks of each other.
If you can pull
it off.
Listen, though, if you can pull it off.
Oh,
I mean, or survive, then you're then this weekend right now. You're in the conversation as a two-loss squad with mad respect for only losing two as a team that can get into the postseason. That's why.
Well, how are you going to pull that off, though, right?
How the hell did Wisconsin do it? They did.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, they survived. They lost.
Guess what? They survived, and they've got enough. They got enough depth to overcome injury.
And they had honor in defeat.
Yes.
On a couple of those. I mean, that's what it's about, because if Nebraska gets worked if you're just to stop right now and predict those games.
You can't have Ohio State performances. That's what you're freaking out about.
Well, you look at it right now. You're looking at if you're just to predict now, saying things sort of stay the same.
No.
Nebraska trots out the same sort of athletes. Those opponents have the same sort of athletes and program. Nebraska's got three definite losses. Three. Already, before the season even starts, you got three definite losses.
And how bad are they going to be?
Then you add a couple more to that. You're talking about potentially, and this all comes back to this defensive back coach hire potentially. The Riley era is threatened significantly in 2018 because that'll be year four for him. And yes, the schedule is terrible, but do you think once the season starts, that Nebraska fans are going to be forgiving? No. Year four, they're expecting some serious, significant improvement.
That's a lot of projection.
It is.
I think I'm going to just stop for a second and say I think the path you're going on is extremely logical. And by year four, you've got your Calabrasca dudes in here. Maybe you have more if you get this hire this weekend with Dante Williams, and you're better set up. But again, you better get more physical, and you better develop these studs as well. I mean, there's still work to do just because you get them here. The other side of it is Nebraska fans, above all, you mentioned honor and defeat. That's what they want. If you lose, they'll be okay with it as long as you punched your butt off. And you just fell to maybe a better team, or it didn't go your way. Not looking sloppy or like a team that didn't belong.
I love the Wisconsin game.
You need to go out like, if you do go out, you got to go out like you did against Wisconsin and not Iowa.
Right.
And there's also next season to regroup. And Nebraska fans are brilliant. They'll look at that schedule and go, sweet Lord, 8-4, you don't like it, but if you battle through it, tip of the cap. It ain't easy. And meanwhile, the rest of the nation will look at that and go, assuming things continue to move forward where Sparty's back, Ohio State's Ohio State, Michigan's rolling, Wisconsin continues to be a 10-win team, and you don't step on landmines like a Minnesota or a Northwestern of these teams that you think you're superior than. So there's a lot of ball in this wax.
Look, and you're right. If, say, 2018 Nebraska has honor in defeat, goes 8-4. Sure. But I'm just saying, if nothing changes, if things kind of hold serve to where they're at now with what the programs are doing.
Right.
Nebraska's not going to have honor in defeat.
You got to get better, and you do that with getting talent and depth, and you get some studs.
Like crazy. And that so that relates to this this coaching hire of being able to bring in guys, and then also getting some help maybe along the offensive line coaching-wise, which could mean elevating Tavita Thompson and tapping into some of his recruiting connections, which apparently are pretty good too.
Yes.
It's just, dude, this program is in need of – I guarantee you, they're not going to overlook 2017, but they're not stupid, man. They know that 2018 is year four, and they know that they better come correct.
Nope,
because it's going to get pretty ugly around here if that team is not ready to go.
There is urgency, and you saw. I mean, Riley wants to. This last adventure wants to be a championship adventure, and that's his goal. That's what he wants. He has a chance to do it. And credit him for making some tough decisions and not being stagnant with the status quo.
And how's that going with the rest of the staff, by the way?
Who knows? He's the boss. He brought you with. Just be happy is my take. It's Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Brandon Vogel, and Gary Sharp coming up in about 45 minutes. Dear friend and a tremendous coach is back in Nebraska, Craig Smith, South Dakota. And Coach Miles and Nebraska tip-off at PBA today, 1 o'clock. We had a chance to catch up with Craig Smith this week. The Hail Varsity Rewind shortly. Want to remind you, safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. We'll talk some hoops. Craig Smith next on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in one of our favorites, Craig Smith, University of South Dakota. The Yotes and the Huskers tomorrow at PBA. Coach, great to speak with you again. How you doing?
Hey, Chris, man. It's great to catch up with you, and I really appreciate you having me on your show. It's always enjoyable.
Well, man, I appreciate all the time you've given us when you were at Nebraska, and we caught up when you headed up to South Dakota, and tell me about South Dakota 2016-2017, the culture you've got in there. It's year three, four. You got a lot of Nebraska kids on the roster, and you get to come back to PBA. I know your excitement level's high, but what have you been able to build so far?
You know, it's exciting. In a lot of ways, it feels like year one again. You know, our biggest challenge when we got here was we had to really overhaul our roster. We were just loaded with juniors and seniors. And so we finally now, after just 2 years, going back to my first year, we only have two guys left from our first year's team. So we're a very, very young team, but I really like our talent. I think we're very skilled, guys that know how to play, and are great teammates that understand winning. And so now the issue we're having is we have 10 freshmen and sophomores out of our 15 guys on our roster, and we have 10 newly eligible players. We sat out three Division I transfers last year, Matt Mooney from the Air Force Academy, Trey Dickerson from the University of Iowa, and Carlton Hurst from Colorado State. All three of those guys will start. But going into this season, Chris, we only had two guys on our entire roster that had ever averaged more than 13 minutes a game in Division I. So incredibly inexperienced. We were able to take a foreign trip to Spain this summer, which really, really helped playing four games and getting those 10 practices in. But you're right, Chris. We've built a culture, I think, of toughness and understanding what we're trying to do. It's really an exciting time. We moved into a brand-new $66 million arena slash practice facility, new offices, new weight room, new everything. So it's really an exciting time at USC.
Well, it is. Craig Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Follow him on Twitter at @CoachSmith_USD. Now, you had a ton of kids on the Minnesota roster, from Minnesota on your roster, and you went up there and won in Gopher Land. You have four kids from Nebraska: Logan Power, kid out of Lincoln Christian. I've seen Tristan Simpson. I don't know how many games I had a chance to cover with him up there with the Navigators. Delmont out of Ainsworth, and of course Hagedorn's just was tremendous for Norfolk. What's your message been to those kids? Because sometimes you try and do too much when you come home. Have you approached that or touched on that at all this week?
You know, I really haven't, and we didn't do that last year either when we went to Minnesota. And I just think you just try to give them the smile and relax. You know, there's going to be an edge to them. To be honest, I just kind of have fun with them.
Okay.
You know, just to kind of try to take the edge off, so to speak. And but it's a dream come true for those guys. Living in Nebraska for 2 years, I know how big it is. I know how important, you know, Nebraska athletics, certainly men's basketball, but obviously football. I mean, those two venues are sold out all the time. Volleyball might be the hardest ticket in town, but
yeah,
we know how important it is for kids growing up there, and it's going to be a dream come true for those guys. And, you know, for Coach Miles to play this game, that means so much to our program. Obviously, personally, that means a lot. But, you know, we try to play high majors in states that we recruit, and certainly by Coach Miles agreeing to play us, I know it helps our program more than it helps his.
Can you take me through your process with recruiting, the evaluation, the offer, the close? I mean, your approach to doing it, and everywhere you've been, you found tremendous players. And I think of Petaway, I think of Walt, I think of kids you have at South Dakota now, specifically with Dickerson. I know he's a transfer guy, but he, you know, Big Ten program, the Air Force Academy has been really talented, and you get Mooney from there. Can you kind of just give me a snapshot of your world with the recruiting game?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's never ending. It's a lifestyle. You know, it's one of those things where, I mean, you're constantly looking under rocks to find guys, and I think you got to know your clientele. You know, we know that South Dakota's not for everybody. I mean, we're in a smaller community, and that's not for everybody. Nebraska, you know, and Lincoln's a little more remote, right? So you got to understand who you're recruiting and what's important to those guys. Can they make it in Vermilion? Can they make it in Lincoln? Can they, you know? And so you got to be smart with that. And you can waste a lot of time recruiting. You can see, oh, man, that guy's really good. But you got to weigh, okay, who's recruiting him? Right? Who's, you know, can we realistically get in there, or are we wasting our time? You never want to give up on anybody, but you got to be intelligent about the landscape, too. And it's kind of like dating, in a way. But and I won't elaborate more on that. But and then I'm probably different than a lot of guys. I'm very hands-on. I want to know who we're recruiting. I want to know all about them. I want to have a relationship with them. And we recruit guys hard, the assistants and myself as the head coach. Some schools, the head coach doesn't recruit or doesn't do much recruiting. It's just very different everywhere. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want a group of guys that are just because they're a good player doesn't mean they're what we want, right? And so you got to look for certain things in terms of how they play and certain things in terms of their personality. And for me, being a father of four children, and when you're, especially when you're in a smaller community, you really want to have guys that my kids can look up to and be very proud of. And not that our guys are perfect, nobody's perfect, but at the end of the day, that's what I always look at and say, is this a kid my kids can be proud of? And then obviously he's got to be good enough on the floor and be able to make a positive impact in our program.
Tell me a little bit about Tristan Simpson, and I know he's a freshman, but just tremendous ceiling and your excitement level for him. Conversely, also touch on Logan and a guy that walked on that you guys awarded the scholarship to.
Yeah, so I'll start with Logan. Logan, we just gotten hired from Nebraska, of course, came in, and a guy named Tim McEwen, who's a good friend of mine, went to the same church and his family friends with Logan. And I had read press clippings of Logan, you know, when I was at Nebraska, and we made a call and got a bunch of videotape and watched them, and knew enough people, obviously, that vouched for his character and how hard he works. And, you know, we brought him up to campus. We offered him a spot to walk on and said, you never know. That might end up being in a scholarship, but it might not. You know, there's no guarantees. So if that's why you're coming here, then you maybe should go, because he had other D2, you know, full rides. Mm-hmm. So that tells you a lot about Logan, though. I mean, he could have had a debt-free education, but he believed in himself, right? He believed in us. And it is amazing how far that young man has come in terms of his talent and ability. And he's the type of guy that is a complete program guy. Obviously, he wants to play, but he's so supportive of all his teammates. And Tristan, 2 years ago, we saw in the summertime, and then Ben Reese, who's the coach at Norfolk High School, High School, called us and said, man, I don't know if you're recruiting this kid for Lincoln North Star, but if you're not, you better get all over him. And ironically, we were at that game when he texted, and Tristan just plays a great pace. He's a true point guard, really knows how to play, great feel for the game, and an unbelievable personality. I mean, one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet, but he just has this calming effect. And he kind of has that Magic Johnson smile. Mm. You know, when he's out there playing or he's just hanging out, he's always got a big smile on his face. And he's just an endearing guy that everybody likes to play with.
Coach Craig Smith with us, Hale Varsity Radio. A couple more minutes. Your friendship and the relationship you have with Coach Miles, you guys are family. You're also competitors that will shake hands before and after the game. But can you, how's tomorrow going to be for you? It's not that you haven't gone against Coach Miles before, but this situation is a little bit different with you being D1, him being D1, and you get to play against each other. Or not against each other, but you know what I'm saying. You're squaring off with your guys.
I would say we're as thick as thieves. you know, I always tell people, he's the youngest of five. I'm the oldest of five. You know, he's the big brother I never had. I'm the little brother he never had. And I think he kind of likes being the big brother, bossing everybody around. But you're right. Our kids, you know, Gabe and Ava are very good friends with my kids. His wife, Carrie, and I, we're very close. And when you work for someone for 11 years, I mean, you develop a bond, right, and a kinship. And I'm sure tomorrow, I think, too, I was an NEI head coach. We played North Dakota State, but we're both young and dumber. Then I think the older you get, you maybe reflect a little more and appreciate things a lot more. And our time in Lincoln was absolutely phenomenal. And the experiences that we had there, and, you know, it kind of hit me yesterday. I just got goosebumps. But in terms of the game, you know, I was at a state tournament to see Tyler Hagedorn play. But other than that, the last time I was in Pinnacle Bank was when we beat Wisconsin on no-sit Sunday, and that was just, you just get goosebumps thinking about it, you know, beating the number 9 team in the country and the longest winning streak and advancing to the tournament. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of emotions for a lot of reasons, but, you know, we're the biggest Cornhusker fans you could possibly imagine. We have in conference play especially, we almost always once a week sit down and watch the Huskers play as a family. Because we are so close to Coach Miles and his family, and of course Kenya Hunter and a couple other guys on staff. So we're looking forward to it.
Keys for you tomorrow. What are some things you and the guys got to do to get out of PBA with a win?
Pray. you know, they're good. I mean, they played the 24th toughest schedule in the country, and I'm sure it's going to move up. We'll bring it down a little bit, but then they got great New Kansas. So, they're good. They're very, very good defensively. We really gotta take smart shots and not take quick and first available shots. They really get downhill. Watson is a player. Ty Webster is playing like an all Big Ten player right now. So somehow we gotta neutralize those guys. Ed Morrow that dude just eats steel. Like that guy is on the rim nonstop, whether it's, you know, two dribble dunks, screen and roll dunk, offense rebound dunk. I mean, so we got to somehow neutralize that him. And we just got to try to eliminate losing. And that means you don't turn it over, you rebound, and we can't foul, and we got to somehow get fouled, which we've done a good job with. So, and then the last thing, quite frankly, is, I mean, there's not many better environments than Pinnacle Bank Arena. And when you have you know, 15 to 16,000 people. I'm not sure any of our guys have ever played in front of a crowd like that. So how do we handle that, right? How do we handle outside influences? And does it get us going fast and a million miles an hour and a play out of character? Or do we play with poise and confidence like we have up to this point this season?
Coach, could this be an annual game? Is that something you'd like?
You know, I'm not sure that's realistic. Obviously, I would love to play it, you know, every 2 to 3 years for the reasons we said before. It's a special, special game. But like I said, for Coach Miles to play this game, that means a lot to us. We always want to play our regional foes. That's what we tried to do in our non-conference schedule the best that we can. So, you know what? We're going to enjoy this game and enjoy this moment. And, you know, at the end of the day, the college experience, I think I've said this before to you in it, but I truly believe in it. The college experience is about gaining experiences and developing relations that last a lifetime. And I think this will be an experience that a lot of our guys will never forget.
Coach Craig Smith at @CraigSmith_USD. Find and follow him on Twitter. South Dakota comes into Nebraska ready to go at PBA. Lastly, Coach, if folks want to find out more about South Dakota, we're on in a lot of the state, and they want to find their way to a South Dakota basketball camp. Can they go to your website and find out more about that for some summer camps?
Yeah, and we'll have a fantastic setup. To be honest, I'm not sure I would have recommended it last year, but because we were in the dome, and it was just kind of – but now with our brand-new venue, we're going to have an incredible setup for camps. It's only 2.5 hours away from Lincoln, so it's a very easy drive on interstate, and we'd love to have as many kids as we can. I think we put on a fantastic camp.
I'm sure you do, Coach. Take care. We'll catch up with you and do this again. Appreciate your time.
Hey, Chris. It's always great catching up. We appreciate it.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Quick first hour. Hope you're well. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick. TJ Henning about 15 minutes away. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Gary Sharp coming up. Sauter Haven. You need to go find your way to Sauter Haven today. Holiday season is here. Rick and the gang offering instant discounts and giving away free trips with qualifying purchase now through December 31st. Where are those trips? How's Cancun sound? How's Vegas sound? And above all, how's it sound when you get that significant other of yours the gift she really wants? On top of a free trip. Only the best at Sauter Haven, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. See stores for details, SauterHaven.com. Go see Santa Rick and your friends at Sauter Haven. Instant discounts when you get in there to see Rick and the friends at Sauter Haven and your chance at a free trip, Vegas, Cancun. That is warmer. Kranak, are you ready to sign up for the motivational class known as PJ Fleck in Eugene?
Oh, yeah, I could see that. He's pretty impressive. He's kind of a derisive character. People, you know, sometimes don't like his. They think he's got a shtick or whatever. But look, he's handling business. I mean, Western Michigan, who? What? Who are they? He somehow gets them to.
How close were the Fighting Franks last night? Ugh.
Oh, I know. Hey, good on Frank Solich, too. I don't follow it too closely, but I do know that I've seen them in the championship game a few times.
Three.
Over the last few years. How many? Three?
Mm-hmm.
And they've won what? One of them? Or none?
None.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I could see that. I could see PJ Fleck going there, which would be fine with me because he would not be running that same offense that Oregon likes to run, which means Oregon will be just terrible next year as they're dealing with the transition. So that would be a good first road test for Nebraska under the tutelage of or under the quarterbacking of Tanner Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Pretty hostile environment, but an offense and defense that are in total disarray. That's what they'd be going up against. So that'd be fine with me.
Yeah.
That's what I hope the most for Oregon is that they bring in somebody that's just run something entirely different. And then, you know, they're just going to suck for a couple years.
Yeah. Get in, get out, do your home and home with them. And You signed him when they were up, and you played him when they were down. Not your fault.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting, though. You know, you got the coaching carousel stuff. You got the playoff stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if you look at it realistically, I think the most logical thing to do, assuming that Clemson wins, you're basically going to have one from the Big Four conferences. Right?
I don't
That's the logical thing to do. Well, put Washington in. They deserve it.
Listen.
Put Alabama in. They deserve it. Put Clemson in. If they handle business, they deserve it. And then, you know, probably Ohio State, unless Wisconsin or Penn State just smokes one of the other teams.
Listen, I got to call you out here, and I do it lovingly.
What?
But you're the cat telling me that Michigan allowed like 19% third down conversions for the how many weeks?
No doubt.
Give me Michigan over Washington.
Dude, but those guys dropped two of their last three.
I don't care. They would beat the crap out of Washington. That might be stretching it a bit. They would beat Washington.
Maybe, but they didn't beat Iowa, and they didn't beat Ohio State.
I want to focus on something here. You've experienced the time and again as a season ticket holder, Mr. Kranak, where you've watched with your own eyes Nebraska have a moment in a game where something went against them, not this year, not last year, but previous staff, where there was a swing in momentum that would kind of crumble the team.
Mm-hmm.
I get that same vibe a little bit from Harbaugh because he tends to freak out a little bit. And I'm talking, they didn't recover from Iowa. That safety swung things.
Yep.
And they were up by 10, Ohio State. He throws his clipboard, gets flagged, and it's duck and cover from that moment on. Now, they came back and scored in overtime, but things shifted immensely because of a momentum-changing play, and he did not handle it well.
But here's the thing. No, totally. But are you going to seriously put in a Michigan team that's not a conference champion that lost two of their last three over Washington? What conference didn't they win?
They didn't win the Big Ten, which is the best conference this year. We're down to 10 seconds on the shot clock. We'll continue this forward with Brandon Vogel, Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Hail Varsity Hour 2 next, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. If you haven't tried it, log on, hailvarsity.com. What a community. What a great look for the website. And if you check it out, you get 30 days free when you sign up today. hailvarsity.com/subscribe. You can read a ton on hailvarsity.com with Brandon Vogel at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Mr. Vogues joins us. Vogues, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing all right. You got any news for us, coaching hires, or are you just kind of waiting for the email?
Yeah, that's sort of where I'm at this point. You know, it feels like you might hear something today, but until you do, I guess you never really know. These coaching things can kind of turn on a dime. So we'll wait and see. It's certainly been an intriguing past 36 hours.
What do you think of Riley and this Dante Williams courtship?
Well, it certainly seems to it seems pretty apparent why he's on the list and leading the list at this point, and it's a big recruiting play, and it's a little bit, you know, I don't know if strange or interesting is the right word, given sort of it's tough to know exactly, other than hey, be a great recruiter, what are his actual coaching duties going to be, because they don't have a spot directly for anything he's done in the past. So that part of it, yeah, I guess, is kind of wait and see mode. But I'm personally not bothered by that. Like, if Mike Riley is convinced that the recruiting play is the primary play that they need to make at this point, I guess I don't totally disagree with that.
You know, and either way, Brandon, it doesn't seem like this is going to be an isolated move. right? Because you have Banker that was coaching safeties. You have Brian Stewart that was coaching corners. And now you throw in a third sort of defensive back coach into the mix. I mean, it changes the entire mix. If you were to guess, if you were to say no other coaches are leaving, how do you think Nebraska would structure itself defensively?
Part of what this move says to me, and we know Mike Riley is on a lot of these committees and certainly plugged in, is that they think that the 10th coach is going to pass. And that seems likely based on everything you've heard. So they may be looking at this as, oh, this isn't the only move we have. We have another one coming, we think. So you could sort of – I assume Banker moves out of the secondary or his role as a safeties coach. And then they divvy up the secondary between Stewart and Williams. Banker then becomes available to help somewhere else, perhaps. And also they're going to have to divvy up special teams somehow because it doesn't look like they're set on – directly filling Reed's role, which I think will make a lot of Husker fans probably happy.
Brandon Vogel with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. If they get that 10th, do you think they give that to Kavita Thompson? Do they assign Thompson to continue kind of doing what he's been doing, and that's working with tight ends? And, a big thing that's worked well at Nebraska was two O-line coaches and more eyeballs on depth development and really getting refined at the run and pass game. And, Coach Kavanaugh's got a task getting five guys healthy and ready, let alone building depth and talent behind it, because, as you know, in the Big Ten, you're going to need a guy like a Sam Hahn or somebody to come in. And what's the next area of need? From a coaching standpoint, do you think it is O-line? And that's not negative towards Kavanaugh. I'm just saying the reality is you got to win on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you absolutely do. It seems like they definitely want to have a spot for Tavita Thompson, and that makes sense. You could maybe look at divvying it up by position. You know, have Thompson do tackles and ends, tackles and tight ends, essentially, and then get Kavanaugh the interior. I don't know offhand if that plays to their particular strengths. I kind of like the way Nebraska used to do it, which was, run game, pass game. I feel like Pat Kavanaugh has a really good handle on sort of pass blocking. That's kind of where he came from. So I don't know. That one seems like a little bit more remote, but I would put offensive line up there. If you can divvy that up or give the guy who's there some help, it definitely doesn't hurt you in any sense, I don't think.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, I'm like borderline obsessed with the 2018 schedule. I just think it's...
You got a t-shirt printed already.
I know we talked about it last week and stuff too, but I mean, how much of, even the Reed dismissal, how much do you think just the prospects of what comes in 2018 being year four is affecting Riley and the decisions that he's making for the staff and what they have to get done?
I'd be surprised if it was a whole lot in a specific sense. I just don't know that coaches totally work that way. But it's clear that whatever is spurring it, that Riley feels some urgency here. We've seen it with the coaching changes the past two seasons. We've seen it, I think, with how hard they've hit recruiting. So whether or not he's pointing to the fact that Colorado's coming to town in 2018, or Nebraska's going there, I don't remember which.
Colorado's in Lincoln.
In Lincoln, okay. It's there, even if it's not that sort of specific. And that 2018 schedule, it looks brutal, but eventually you're going to have to – I think a lot of the Big Ten schedules are going to be moving towards that. Every year you're going to have some teams that kind of luck out and some teams that get unlucky, but you look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin was totally written off just based on schedule, and they went out and handled it. They're playing tonight for a conference title. Eventually you're just going to have to do that. You're going to have to be good enough to beat a succession of really good teams, because that's kind of what you're getting now with a 9-game schedule.
And that's to the SEC's credit with the championship runs they've been on. What's been their backup plan? Well, that's fine. Bama's got a loss, but look at the schedule Bama's played. Look how tough the SEC West is. I don't mind following that blueprint. Do you?
No, not at all. I mean, and the SEC has been very savvy about that. You know, when you start to think about the mid-November SoCon challenge, that seems like a very calculated move. They'll play big games early because they know they can recover from them. And when your league overall is perceived as strong, which the Big Ten is getting there, if not there, after
there this
season.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah. You can survive one or two of those. The scale has changed, you know. It's been changing for a while. It used to be, if you don't go undefeated, thanks for playing. Enjoy your other bowl game. Now, like, it's not – no one – everyone's willing to excuse a one loss. I think slowly that's going to go down to two. It's kind of where things are moving. And as games have increased and conferences have gotten bigger, that kind of makes sense.
Real quick here. Not only are they excusing a loss or two, but it used to be also when you lost. And Clemson's loss, Michigan's losses, really recent. But they've looked at body of work, and it's a new day and age in college football. I never thought I'd, and I had low expectations, but I didn't think I'd see the, for lack of a better term, the free pass given to a November loss ever. It's like you can't lose, and you sure as hell can't lose in November.
Yeah, and, you know, I think for all of the sort of annoying things about the selection committee rankings, a lot of it is due to that. You know, with the old poll logic, like you said, if you lost, you dropped. And it's still true, but not to the same degree, I think, with these selection committee rankings that we're seeing each week.
Brandon Bogle with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Let's look at the bowl games. And you've laid out some of the options on HailVarsity.com. So where you sit right now, if you had to pick, what would you narrow Nebraska's possibilities to, and who are the opponents you have in mind?
Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be either the Outback or the Music City Bowl. There may be like some crazy dominoes were to fall. The Pinstripe Bowl might be in discussion, where I think Nebraska would face an ACC team. I haven't even thought about that one very much. So, you know, Outback Bowl, you're probably facing either Florida or LSU. Those would both be tough games. If it's the Music City Bowl, it seems like the bowl folks there are very committed to Nebraska-Tennessee, which I think a lot of Husker fans would probably like. I've heard from a handful of people in the Lincoln-Omaha area that if Nebraska's in Nashville, they'll drive for that game. And Nashville's a great city, so I don't view a lot of difference in terms of prestige. It seems to be all about the playoff versus bowls at this point. So I don't worry about Nebraska not getting as much exposure or whatever if they head to Nashville. I think in terms of just a fan experience, that's definitely the best bet.
Now, hold on. You touched a little bit on that on the HailVarsity.com forums, where you prefer the Music City Bowl. And you mentioned food as one of the reasons there, Brandon. And I got a little bone to pick with you. Like, I understand that Nashville is a good foodie town, but have you had blackened grouper or jerked grouper or conch fritters? Because Tampa comes correct too now, an entirely different genre of food. But come on now, it deserves a little due.
I'm sure it does. I've never actually been to Tampa. I've been to Nashville numerous times.
Oh.
Yeah, I am. And frankly, I have like no concept of what Tampa actually is, other than they have this really strange baseball stadium.
No, they do. I was just going to real quick. So gorgeous beaches. I mean, Tampa's one of the, in my opinion, it's one of the best kept secrets, even though it's not a small town by any stretch, but like St. Pete Beach, Clearwater, just gorgeous.
Are you on that beach with your shirt off?
Oh, dude, I've been there
because you're not selling
times.
It right now.
I'm just telling you, it's fan. Well, no, I would definitely have the fat boy shirt on. so don't worry about that. But I mean, really, you got the Caribbean influence there. It's, I mean, I don't know. Hooters was invented there. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, that's kind of more along the lines of what I associate Tampa with versus the picturesque beaches, the clear blue water, and the fantastic sea view. You know, I think part of this is just one of my cognitive biases that I'm not a beach guy. So
yeah, Vogues hates the beach, and you say Hooters waitress around Chipper Jones, he breaks into a cold sweat. So this from the text line 88474, Big Al texts in that he wants Kevin Wilson on staff. That would be a very great PR move right now.
Yeah, let's bring out Les Miles, too. Why not? Just load up.
If you're going to go Kevin Wilson to help with your offense, like, what? Wouldn't you prefer to have Art Briles? I mean, if you're going to go that route, really?
That's true. Why wouldn't you?
Who else, I really who else is why? Out there looking? Riley, I mean, let's just put a cast together. I mean, what, we can go Kevin. Listen, I'll say this about Kevin Wilson. Dude can coach offensive line and is a sweet coordinator.
Absolutely. You know, sort of how they came into the Big Ten and how they tried to make themselves stand out with that passing game really disguises, I think, how good their run game has been of late. And some of the offensive line that they produced that were not four-star offensive linemen walking in there. So he can coach.
Bogues, real quick, how the heck does the pinstripe bull happen?
I don't know the full scenarios that would need to unfold there. But you know, you start knocking teams back a little bit, assuming you get one Big Ten team in the playoff, you know, you sort of reshuffle. And it's also just sort of weird that it kind of basically goes through the Big Ten clearinghouse that they're going to place teams. And once you involve that, there's sort of a long-range plan, like, okay, well, the pinstripe could feasibly get Nebraska now. Is that going to happen again in the next 3-4 years? So it's hard to know. A lot of this bull stuff happens in the shadows.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, I'm going to talk playoffs real quick, speaking of bulls. And I don't know. To me, you look at this one, the Big Ten is the one that's screwing everything up. I mean, obviously, you kind of have those, you know, you have Michigan and Ohio State who the eyeball test tells you that they're two of the best teams in the U.S., but neither of them are competing for the conference championship tonight. Do you think the most likely scenario is Washington, Clemson, assuming they handle business, Alabama, and then probably Ohio State? Like, if you had to hedge your bets now and say, what is that Final Four going to be? What do you think it is?
It's that, and I wouldn't even be that hesitant about Ohio State, particularly if Wisconsin won, because they wouldn't have a head-to-head win over Ohio State. Penn State does. Maybe it gets a little bit more complicated, but, you know, Penn State got smoked by Michigan. So it's just... It's tough. I know. Chris is not a fan of expansion, but I think as we've gone down this road, and I'm not even sure I want to be this far down the road, but where it looks more and more like professional football, where the expectation is no longer you got to go undefeated or be really close, the more sort of auto bids you can get in there, the easier this process obviously becomes.
See, I just... Oklahoma doesn't play defense. I know Washington's strength of schedule was garbage, and they blew out a lot of teams this year. But even last night, watching Washington, I mean, their quarterback wasn't anything special. I'll give their defense credit. But Colorado was more of the problem than Washington. Let's just hand out picks in the third quarter. And by the way, is Lufau got a glass jaw? Three biggest games of the year, that dude's knocked out.
I didn't.
What the hell's that?
Watching that game, I didn't feel like
Colorado. How did they go 10-2? For God's sake, they didn't look anything special.
Well, not the way they. I didn't feel they played really hard. You know, there was that freak play where Browning escapes a sack, receiver makes a one-handed grab, and when he got to the end zone, there was a cornerback matched up on a wide receiver, and he wasn't trying to get off that block at all. And I felt like I saw that 5, 6, 7, or 8 times last night. It was very strange because how Colorado had gotten to that point was basically through a lot of like avoiding mistakes and coming with a ton of effort. They didn't do either last night, in my opinion.
Well, the McIntyre, is he going to Baylor? Is he? I mean, the coaching carousel can screw a team up at this point, too.
Yeah, and I don't know why you would leave Colorado for Baylor at this point.
But. No. But just the fact that it's floating out there, you got 18 to 22-year-olds. All right. Vogues, tell me about what's going on with volleyball coverage on HaleVarsity.com today, Husker basketball coverage today, and, of course, the college football madness. A lot of good stuff on the forums, correct?
Yes. Yep. The forums are kind of a new thing for us, but it's becoming a pretty fun conversation and a pretty fun community to be a part of. If you aren't on there, I urge you to check it out. You can get 30 days free just by signing up, so you can see what it's like, see if it's for you. We think you'll like it. And really great day of college athletics. You obviously got some big football games, but then Nebraska, you got hoops and volleyball. So should be pretty fun.
Vogues, have a great weekend. Thanks for your time today. Always great to chat.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. I can't do it. I need Clemson to lose. And I know they're fun to watch. But my dream scenario here is Ohio State, Michigan rematch, Bama, Clemson rematch. That's what I want. Then let Bama or Michigan or Bama or Ohio State go at it. I don't dislike Washington. I think they're good, but they're not doing it for me. They just aren't.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. And they would most likely be pitted against Alabama. So that wouldn't go really well. But then again, you have Chris Peterson, who's got sort of that, you know, he's got some of that bowl magic, you know, trickery stuff from Boise State. You know, who knows? Who knows if they would, you know, do some crazy stuff on Bama? Almost none of this matters, though, right? Because Bama's just going to win the whole thing. They're just sort of playing their own sport right now.
No, they are. They're playing their own sport, and they're, I mean, Saban wants to go out as, anywhere you have a good college football program, you will build a statue of me, okay? Not just in Tuscaloosa. That's what he's about. Go ahead.
I'm looking at CBSSports.com's bowl projections. They have Nebraska LSU in the Outback Bowl. I'm not sure I want any part of LSU.
You know what? It's a way to redeem yourself.
It is, but
that's how I view it. That's how I look at it.
That defense has given up like what, 8 touchdowns this year or something?
I understand that. But they also have a guy that played at Purdue as their quarterback, okay?
But well, and what's Nebraska's history with Purdue? It's just the last 2 years.
Just one.
I'm just saying. Yeah, LSU has, like, seriously, like, they've given up 8 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns the whole year. And the way Nebraska's offense limped to the finish line, like, that could be a disgusting game to watch.
9-3.
Leonard Fournette. No, Leonard Fournette's going to get 150-plus.
That's fine. Let him do it between the 20s.
I don't like this one.
Give me Florida.
I don't like that one.
I would trade Florida for trade LSU for Florida. Let's talk to a guy who's been in Florida. How's that sound?
Look, Pinstripe Bowl, by the way. That would be against the ACC.
I don't want to go to New York. I don't want to go to the Pinstripe Bowl. That's a joke. It's a bad bowl. You should be barred from attending that bowl game with 9 wins.
I don't know. Well, what do you do? Nebraska limped to the finish line, man. That would be kind of fitting. I hope it doesn't happen. But
let's go to a college football bastion of New York City. Oh, that's right. We got Rutgers. Okay. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us 2 absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7 1/2 minutes after that, you're going to bring us 2 more. Then 2 more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
I'd ask Kranak to name that movie clip, but he'd know.
We'll watch movies.
You've not seen Wolf of Wall Street?
No, I have not.
What?
I have not. Did you know that the whole thing was funded by legally gotten funds in a sort of like scam out of Malaysia that goes to the highest levels of government? The executive producer.
You're making my head hurt now.
No, I'm serious. The executive producer, who's been lauded in Hollywood circles, he's a Malaysian, and that entire thing was funded by essentially funds that were stolen from the Malaysian people, and it's pretty crazy. You should look it up. It's very interesting.
No, let's just transition to college football naturally.
Yeah,
Gary,
let's do that.
Sharp, Iron Horse. Sharpie, good morning. Do you have your Santa hat on?
That would be a no.
No. He was like, we're talking Malaysia and Wolf of Wall Street, and Sharpie's like, I'm out of here. Good night.
Yeah. Well, and he doesn't like to say no. He just likes to say, he's, you know, pretty good at that. No, but seriously, Wolf of Wall Street was entirely produced by stealing from the Malaysian people. I'm not kidding. You should look it up. It's nuts. They embezzled like the Malaysian government embezzled like $1 billion.
All right, enough history. Sharpie, do we have you?
We got you. Good morning. Happy holidays.
You too, brother. Okay, Dante Williams, does it get done?
Wow, that's like right out of the box. I thought we were going to talk about the art of a chest pass when you're participating in the halftime Dr. Pepper challenge.
Well, that's next.
I think it does. You know what? It's an intriguing hire. I mean, it gets you a little mindset in what Mike Riley is looking for on his staff, whether it be somebody that not only can recruit in specific areas, but also he's mentioned in a lot of places with people that know him as a good eye for talent and talent developer, which, you know, we transition post-Iowa. That becomes the hot topic is, all right, how do you develop this talent or this group of players? They're going to have to take over in 2017. So intriguing hire, and now you try and, or you know, when it's official, you look and see where he's going to fit on the staff in terms of what he's going to coach.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Talking about chest passes at halftime and also Nebraska's potential coaching hire of Dante Williams. How much do you think 2018 is figuring into all this?
You know what? I've read that column.
We talked about it last week on the show, though, too, right?
Let's focus on 2017 first. You know, because if you don't have a really good 2017, 2018 is, I mean, maybe there's not a 2018. You know, I mean, the schedule is what it is. We said the same thing about Wisconsin. But if Nebraska football is at a point where they're worried about a future schedule and how difficult it is, man, there's some guys in the wrong business. They should go somewhere else where every game doesn't matter. I think Nebraska is also not in a position where they can look ahead. Nebraska football is what it is right now, and they have to take it week by week. So focus on 2017. I mean, we have a lot of time to break down 2017, and, you know, apologies to everybody that still has one game left in 2016. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be some developing of some young talent because there are going to be some young guys that are going to be out there on the football field playing that are going to be given an opportunity, and we'll see if they seize it. So, you know, 2018 is what it is. It's a difficult schedule. That's who Nebraska is. People want to play Nebraska. Nebraska wants to play those games. You come to Nebraska to play those games. But I think 2017 is first and foremost before you ever look ahead.
Sharpie, let's talk about talent development. Specifically, I mean, I look at these guys, and I like how they communicate. I like how they teach. A big topic has been, you know, practice style from a physicality. Well, it's true, and it's an issue in college football. It's not just a Nebraska thing, where Indiana and in Wisconsin week you're physical and you're cracking skulls, and then at the end of the year because of depth and worn down and whatever, you just got mauled by Iowa. They're the more physical team. They looked fresher. Are you concerned about just that coaching up, that development? Do you think it can be kind of reconfigured? Does it need to be?
Let's go back here. If Mark Banker, Mark, I'll ask you this. If Mark Banker would have chosen, instead of the word bloodbath, if he would have chosen that Iowa's practices for Nebraska week were more efficient, would you have reacted differently?
Oh, yeah.
Because here's what it is. Iowa's practices that week were not that physical. what they were a team that feels disrespected by Nebraska, that had a lot of energy in practice. They were not physical. They were efficient, where they got a lot of things done, and they got them done quickly. Now, you know, we all talk about, man, back in the 90s, guys just beat the crap out of each other in the pit when they were going one-on-one. Well, they also had 4,000 guys that were in the program, so you could afford to do that. You don't have as many, and this staff got spooked by lack of depth and injuries, so you probably don't ratchet up the live tackling, which has to change. You have to have some portion of live tackling. But what I think needs to be looked at is how efficient Nebraska is in practice in terms of what they're getting done, how quickly they run, not standing around, just go, 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 go. This is what we're going to get done, and here we go. Instead of, let's just go out there and for 2 hours on a Wednesday afternoon just beat the crap out of each other. I think Iowa's practices, and a lot of people have said this that witness them, are very, very efficient. They do have live tackling, but it's not like they're beating each other up. But if Banker would have said Iowa was more efficient in practice than we were, I think people would have reacted differently than the bloodbath comment, which I think was a little overblown.
But it seems like he was making an appeal in some ways to ratchet up the physicality at least a little.
Yeah, and I think the live tackling part, that's what defensive guys will tell you on this current football team that are players. They'll say, man, I would have loved to have more live tackling in practice, especially at the linebacker spot. They think that would have helped them a lot as the season, you know, as the season went along, and basically their careers have gone along. It's more live tackling. I think Mark Banker in that comment was talking not only to himself, he was talking to the rest of the staff about what they have to do moving forward in terms of how they practice and take what they do in practice over to Saturday. But also, don't be scared off. If you're going to go with more live tackling, don't be scared off of going there. There's the cons. You could get a guy injured. But there's also the pros of not only those guys being used to game speed when they have to tackle, but also think about the younger guys. If you're in it to build depth, which Nebraska needs to do now, you go live tackling and you get a little bit more hitting in practice, you know, those younger guys, that's going to be a huge benefit for them down the line, even if they're not the frontline guys out there playing on Saturday.
Now, cumulative effect is what you need, man, especially like you're touching on with the game simulation, the speed, but just being able to carry it over, make the hits, and be comfortable with it. It's not new, or it's not been since training camp that you've had some barbaric type hitting. So that's key. We'll see what shakes out. What are your thoughts on the college football playoff, Sharpie? What do you want to see?
Well, I'm not necessarily a fan of chaos. Maybe because I've gotten older. Younger, I wanted all kinds of chaos. Older Gary, I'm okay with status quo. I think what you're going to have is the Big Ten championship game will be pretty irrelevant tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Washington is in. I think Clemson will win. So the four that started the week in the first four spots, they'll go there. I think the change will be Ohio State, because they didn't win their conference championship, will drop to a four. We'll get Saban and Meyer in Atlanta. And we'll get Washington stays on the West Coast, basically, to sell tickets at the Fiesta Bowl. And, you know, it's unfortunate for the Big Ten, but it's going to change kind of how we look at conference championship games, which are basically made for TV and not for fans. If you want to add a little juice to the conference championship games, and I know this is a pie-in-the-sky view, and it won't happen because there's so much money involved, put them on campus. Can you imagine tonight if Wisconsin had to go into Penn State or Penn State had to go to Madison to play for the Big Ten championship game, what kind of atmosphere you would get and what kind of a challenge that would be? You know, I don't know. The Big Ten, unfortunately, is going to probably sit by the side. But if Clemson does somehow lose, then things get really, 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 really interesting. But I think we'll have the four that'll be in, and we'll just move forward, and the chips will fall in line, and we'll find out where Nebraska goes tomorrow.
You know, I've been a big proponent of Michigan, and I think they would beat Washington. I think Michigan matches up well with about everybody. I would like to see them in, even with a second loss, and I know November's not been good for them, but man,
yeah, you can't drop 2 of 3, man. You just can't.
Look how they did it, though.
But could I convince both of you that and the word best is used? Let's get the four best in there. So if we're talking about the four best on December 3rd, could I convince both of you that two of the best four in college football right now won't even play today. One's from the Big Ten, and the other's from the Pac-12.
Yeah, Michigan
Ohio
and
USC. State, USC, respectively.
No, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you got at some point, you got to get it down on the field, you know? And it's,
oh,
the,
true,
it's the
true.
Big Ten that's screwing everything up.
If USC, if this was college basketball, the seeding, USC is the team you don't want to play because they have now elevated themselves into like a 2 or 3 seed in your field of 64.
Yeah. Yeah, but you understand why it's yeah. totally logical why they can't get in. Here's the one thing that I do wonder about. You remember a couple of years ago, Ohio State wasn't even close to a shoe-in until they absolutely drilled Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, mm-hmm. and then they snuck in, and then they ended up winning the whole thing. Do you think it's possible at all if Penn State or Wisconsin has a similar just dominant performance tonight that one of those two can sneak in?
I think there would be a chance if there was a 59-0 type game, because that would completely turn everything you think about what's going to happen in Indianapolis tonight upside down. Because we all think it'll be, man, how can Penn State score more than 2 touchdowns against Wisconsin? You know, how's Wisconsin going to be able to move the football? If that thing happened, then definitely whoever is on the 59 part of that, they're probably sitting in the championship game.
There you go.
Reason to watch.
Gary Sharp.
But it's a weird dynamic, because that's so different from how you play football that you'd have to go into the game with that mindset, or into the mindset, hey, we're looking at the ribbon board to see that score, the Clemson Virginia Tech. You know, they say do it on the field, but in the end, it's, you know, people that are inside a committee room deciding your fate, which I think. And I know it's for TV. Everything is for TV. Someday we're going to win as the fans. We're going to win this battle. But what if they did not release individual rankings? Would we even be having a debate right now about Ohio State? If the committee on their television show every Tuesday just gave out the top 10 teams and they had no number next to them, these are 10 we're considering, what kind of a debate would we be having this morning about Ohio State or Washington or Penn State or Wisconsin not knowing where they sit right now? I think that would add even more drama to it.
Yeah, they're listening and writing it down. Gary Sharp will be on the selection committee next year for sure. Sharpie, always love catching up with you. Thanks for your time, man. You have a good weekend, okay? Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. And do not let anyone tell you that the chest pass and those Dr. Pepper halftime things should be outlawed, because it's all about winning tuition for kids. And chest passes, you can get them off more quick. Go out in the backyard, kids, try it. Courtesy of Hail Varsity Radio. Trust me, you'll love that you're getting a free education.
Boom, yeah. And it's a shuffle pass. Right on. Sharpie, be good, bud. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
See
you.
Yeah, the shuffle pass. I haven't worked on that with Carson for a while. We have enough problems with chest passes for basketball.
I'd like to see the option. You know what I mean? Finish with a thumb up, the option pitch.
You're preaching to the
Somebody
choir.
Win it with that.
You're preaching. Quick timeout. We'll get some recruiting thoughts. Jake Jensen of Hail Varsity next.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Winding down a Saturday. Hope you're all right. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach. Welcome in with HailVarsity.com. Does a great job covering recruiting. Jake Jensen with us. Jake, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing all right, man. And got a few minutes here to talk recruiting. Coaches on the road this week. But the buzz Kranach and I have been talking about is Coach Williams out of Arizona, if he makes his way to Lincoln. What's your reaction to this news?
I definitely surprised is probably the first one, because this is the first real time that I've ever really seen Nebraska hire a coach almost entirely for his ability to recruit. Williams has, you know, little to no experience coaching special teams. But he is one of the finest recruiters in the entire Pac-12 conference. And the fact that Nebraska is at least on the cusp of signing him just shows how important recruiting is under this new staff.
Jake Jensen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, covers recruiting on HailVarsity.com and in the magazine. If he does come on board, and it's not official yet, if he does come on board, do you expect to see that pay immediate dividends for this particular class, or is this more of a longer-term thing?
I do expect there to be results within about a week or so of him coming on, because when he joined the Arizona staff last year coming from San Jose State, that night after signing the contract with the Wildcats, he was on a plane recruiting and getting to work for him. He's a tireless recruiter would be a good word for it. And he has a tremendous relationship with Greg Johnson, who he gets kind of overshadowed by Joseph Lewis, his teammate at Augustus Hawkins High School. But Johnson's a top 150 recruit in the nation who committed to Arizona. And I believe that if Williams joins the Nebraska staff, Greg Johnson will become a Husker before December's over.
Jake Jensen, a few minutes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Jake, let's switch gears and touch on some of the walk-on prospects. How's that going for Nebraska? Who are some of the in-state kids Nebraska's in on and have kind of lined up?
It's going well. Nebraska's taken a much more aggressive approach to their walk-on class this year than they were last year. They sent their walk-on offers much sooner, and they've also been much more transparent with who they offer. Like you're knowing who's getting a walk-on offer much sooner for Nebraska, which is smart because of the tradition behind the program and how famous it is. And some guys that have received walk-on offers right now and have accepted include Dylan Reynolds, the wide receiver out of Broken Bow, Cody Lisk out of Bennington, who's a really underrated kid that I think will be very good by the time his 5 years in college are over. And then some guys who have received offers but haven't accepted yet include Hunter Miller out of Cross County. He's a 6'3", 280-pound guard with solid potential to grow. And another one is Jordan Pop out of Central City, who, you know, he's probably the cream of the in-state walk-on crop. He's a 6'4", 230. He's a guy who's, if he does end up joining Nebraska's walk-on class, he'll be saying no to multiple FCS offers. And he's a very talented player with solid potential to get better.
In about 90 seconds here, Jake, as we wrap, and we appreciate your time and the great work you're doing on HailVarsity.com with recruiting. Any fringe guys that Nebraska's not in on yet, but they could make a late offer to in-state scholarship-wise?
The biggest one's Jalen Bradley, who, you know, he proved that he was a Power 5 caliber prospect this season, as long as he can get his grades up. And then another one that possibly might get a look late, I would still put Rudy Stouffer out of Kearney. He's not completely filled out yet, but even though he's not grown yet, he's 6'5", 270 with very good athleticism. If Nebraska doesn't land Foster Searle or Chuck Filiaga, I could see Stouffer landing an offer in January.
Jake, have a great weekend. We'll be reading the updates. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Jake Jensen. Thanks, Jake. With us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jake Jensen on Twitter, @Jake_JensenHV is where you can follow him. Good stuff from him. And, you know, the walk-on portion of things is so, so important, not just because of numbers, but just because of the attitude you get, what you bring in. And that's that blend that's been so important and dynamic for Nebraska over the years, was the rural work ethic blended with some of the kids that maybe are 4 or 5 stars that come from bigger cities, and kind of getting the culture and the roll your sleeves up mentality. Not that the kids from different parts of the country can't work hard or don't work hard, but just understand what Nebraska is all about, how important it is.
Just, you know, having those guys, having the locals push them a little bit. That's sort of always been the Yeah, that's sort of always been the formula.
Well, Kranak, enjoy your weekend. Go sit on Santa's lap.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, which would be very disconcerting to anybody that was watching that.
It's nice that Santa's charging $50 to do so. You know. Hey, be good. Appreciate your time. Mark Kranak's money. DJ Henning's awesome. Chris Schmidt, we'll talk to you next time on Hail Varsity. Thanks.